guitar. It's
game time.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Is the next step the transplantation of the human brain?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Stand by for action.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Okay.
Remember, we're not dealing with an intelligence on our own level.
Bring in the logic probe!
Ooh!
End of line.
Welcome back to the Gamers Haven Podcast, Incorporated. And the crickets chirp, apparently.
I forgot to turn my microphone on.
You forgot to turn your mic on. Jeremy, is your mic on? Yes, it is.
My mic is
on. So our mics are on, and we're back at the Gamers Haven Podcast for a... it's been a long couple weeks for... all of us, really. Jeremy's been working, you know, 900 hours a day.
Not as many as your brother.
No. He's been, you know, working 15, 16, 17-hour days. Yay. I've been doing school and incorporating. So, yes, we are now Gamers Haven Incorporated. More on that at a later point, really. But... and Nathan, of course, has been dealing with people...
trying to steal my money.
Trying to steal his money from his bank, so, yes.
The whole process of setting up a new bank account and getting all that wonderful stuff out of the way. And then,
yay.
Of course, there's the cold that I somehow managed to catch. Probably because I was working so hard on getting all that other stuff done, I just didn't have enough energy left to protect myself from the invading virus.
Yeah, that happens. That happens. Well, in light of all that, we're not really having a topic for this episode, but we are going to hit some of our random encounters and talk about a few things that are going on with the Gamers Haven. So,
do we have emails?
We do have emails, so we will go over those in the random encounters and also go over a bit of what's going on with Gamers Haven in general and our new location and all that crazy stuff. So we will be back right after this. Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. A huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items. You may have heard Keep on the Shadowfell before, but you've never heard it like this. From the gaming group that brought you The Wizards College... join them as they delve into 4th edition Dungeons & Dragons, some of them for the first time. The town of Brook Hollow stands watch over a ruined keep that was once a bastion of good in the realm. The keep overlooks the Shadow Rift, a dark scar in the world that was once a gateway to the Shadowfell, but has been dormant for many years. Now an evil cleric of Orcus, demon lord of the undead, seeks to reopen the gate, and the only thing standing in his way is a small yet determined band of heroes. Dungeons & Dragons, 4th edition. Keep on the Shadowfell. Redux. Available for download only at GamersHavenPodcast.com.
Random Encounters.
We are back, and on today's Random Encounter episode, we're having a lot more Random Encounter episodes lately, I've noticed, which I think is a good thing.
It's mostly because we're lazy.
There is that, but we are getting more feedback. We're getting... Our fan is busy sending us emails under different accounts and stalking us, so that's good.
We've also all been hellaciously busy, so we don't really have time to post
a
lot of...
That's the old...
But now we're incorporated, so we have to...
Yes, now we're an evil corporation.
Yes.
Well, we're a non-profit evil corporation.
They can be evil, too.
We can still be evil, I guess, really.
But
NAMBLA is
non-profit.
Yeah.
What's non-profit?
I got nothing.
NAMBLA.
Yeah?
Who's NAMBLA?
An evil corporation.
It's like the National Man-Boy Love Association.
Ah! Okay, now, Gamers Haven Incorporated does not promote man love. We have nothing wrong with man. There's nothing wrong with man love.
Yes, dear. There is.
There's nothing wrong with me and boy love.
There is something horribly wrong with man boy love. That is true. Man love, not, we
not
don't care. But man boy love, bad.
No, bad.
Still no big. Man boy love. If you man boy love, you cannot be a listener of our show or be part of our social group. Ever. Right. You all suck.
Wow.
It means you can't also join the Gamers Haven and, you know, be a part of our, and get a nice little certificate that says, I'm a member of the Gamers Haven. Yeah.
Podcast.
That's right. You can send me an email about that. Anyway.
How much do they cost?
They don't cost a thing. But by joining us,
they could.
Joining us, you can legally send us money. Now.
If you want.
If you want, yes.
But unfortunately, we're not in the right category to actually be able to have you take it off.
No, no. No tax. It's not tax deductible, but, you know, we can send you a nifty certificate that's a PDF for free, and if you want, then you can send us money. So send us money. Anyway, first thing sort of first is, if you're listening to this, you should be on our new URL. We have moved from CanadianCrusaders.com to GamersHavenPodcast.com, although we are still accessible through CanadianCrusaders.com. It should redirect you to the new site. Also if you go to cantcon.com and another website yet to be named, but we're working on. Our main site is now gamershavenpodcast.com. You can email us all at the various places, Ethan or Nathan or Jeremy at gamershavenpodcast.com. If you want an actual response, you should email to Ethan at GamersHavenPodcast.com because I actually check and respond to my email, whereas Nathan just checks his email, and Jeremy checks his email once every 3 to 6 months.
My email actually comes into my phone, so I know when I get it, if there's something that I can respond to,
uh-huh,
that I have a reason to respond to,
like I
will.
He gets his email,
I'm gonna
he just doesn't respond.
To everything now,
Jeremy,
before you can.
Jeremy just checks his email once every 3 to 6 months.
That's kind of crap.
You know.
When I get email, I actually contact and say, hey, I got an email about something.
Uh-huh.
Well, usually there's nothing I have that I can respond to, and why bother responding to it in the email
Thank
when we can just talk about it in the show?
This email.
I'm just telling our listeners about the different shades of the Gamers Haven Board of Directors here. So
if you send me $200,
I will send you a response.
Send an email to Nathan at CanadianCrusaders.com, and he responds to you, and you can show me proof of this, I will send you a giant frog. That's right. I will send you a giant frog. That's right. Giant frog. Well,
you'll
it's,
be dead
it's
by
a little plastic
there.
One, but I'll send you a giant frog because I have like 15 of them now. But giant frogs.
I want a giant frog.
You have to send him an email and he has to respond then.
Just a moment.
Anyway. Anyway.
I'll put back. Meh.
Yes, we love getting we love getting feedback from our listeners. We want our listeners to send us stuff. We are working on putting forums up on the site again.
Thank God. I don't even like forums.
Yes, I know.
I would click on the forums and it'd be like nothing there.
Yep, it's gone. But we are going to have forums on our site. And so really, I want to ask our listeners, if there's something that you want to see on our forums, please let us know. We have some general ideas of what we want to do with it, but we want to put it out there if people are going to use it. So if you're a listener and you're interested in us having forums, you could chat with us and chat with each other. Please let us know, Ethan or Nathan or Jeremy at GamersHavenPodcast.com.
Send an email to me and I will respond and you will get a giant frog.
No, I'm only doing that for the first person who does it. That's not Jeremy.
So you guys better hurry quick.
It's too late.
Because I'm not doing it to Jeremy because, you know, I can just give him one, but...
I'm not, because I hate him.
Which email account did you send it to?
Whatever yours is.
Yes, but did you send it to Nathan at GamersHavenPodcast.com?
You didn't say that. You said an email. And I sent
it. Sorry.
There it is.
See?
I set it up to automatically forward.
Is that the bond for cake?
Did he send it, however, to Nathan at GamersHavenPodcast.com?
I can't tell that with my phone. I can just see it came from
Jeremy.
If you
didn't, sorry, dude. No giant frog.
To Nathan Tolbert.
Uh-huh. At your Yahoo address. Yep. Same. So, sorry, Jeremy, no giant frog for you.
Fine.
Yeah. On that front is we also have a voicemail line, again. And
do we have
a voicemail
on it yet?
We do not have a voicemail on it. We have my voicemail that I called in to test it, but I'm not going to play that. So I want to say call our voicemail line. In fact, I'm going to say the first person who is not at this table that calls our voicemail line and is actually a fan of the Gamers Haven podcast will get a giant frog. I just want to give giant frogs away. But the number here, ready to write this down, I know everyone's you know waiting with bated breath, is toll free 1-877-416-1270. That number again is 877-416-1270.
Call in the next 5 minutes and you'll get a giant frog
for free
to go with your giant frog.
Exactly.
That's a value of $9.99.
Not to mention, if you should all be going to iTunes and reviewing us as well. Also, our actual play.
Did we mention the giant frog?
I won't give you a giant frog for doing that, but you know.
Yeah.
Just that's cool because we have some reviews on iTunes.
At some point, you get like 3,000 requests for giant frogs.
Sorry, only the first person gets a giant frog.
Just send them PDFs.
First person to send me an email that I respond to using the Nathan at GamersHavenPodcast.com, and the first person to send us a voicemail.
Get giant frogs.
Get giant frogs. Mm-hmm.
Yep. But yes, and that number again, it's 877-416-1270. Anyway, on to our random encounters and our email.
We don't have anything useless we can sell.
Like, no. Well, you can. By the time this goes up, you should be able to go to our website at GamersHavenPodcast.com and visit our Cafe Press store and buy merchandise through it.
Which we don't get any money parts, I guess I could sell.
Woohoo!
We don't get any money from Cafe Press.
Yes, we do.
We do.
We do get a slight...
It's like
little snippets from...
So somebody buy like 3 million shirts.
Yes, there you go, if you're a bajillionaire. We'll also have affiliate stores on there too, but listen to all that in the end show. So, anyway, on to email. We got an email from Joe McJoe, our favorite, you know, two-named person, Joe McJoe. He's talking about Keep on the Shadowfell Redux. Those of you who are listening to Keep on the Shadowfell Redux, we are using those Critical Hit and Critical Miss cards from...
Sweet. I still own those.
Yes, I'm using them from Paizo.
Yes.
The Critical Hit, Critical Miss.
I'm modifying mine, though.
Well, yeah. I basically draw the card, and then I sort of interpret it myself how it's going to function. Because
really
some of them
freaking nasty.
Some of them are nasty. Some of them are I'm still working on it, obviously. But he writes and says those critical miss and hit cards are nasty. Might I be so bold to suggest a few minor changes on effects with a variable duration,
no.
i.e., dazed for a d6 rounds? An effect with save ends might work out better. I think that's probably a good idea. I'll probably start that up.
Yeah, but none of us can make any of our dice rolls.
That's true.
It doesn't really matter if we have a save
every time they roll a line.
Yes. Well, for in combat, not for like skill checks or anything like that. That's
See, I'm even modifying that.
See, no, that's dumb, Jeremy.
Modifying it away from that many ones.
Oh no, I thought you were modifying it to that for
dumb.
Like rolling a skill check. No, for
unless
it's in combat.
Unless it's a skill challenge.
Well, that's true. That might
work. See, because
you critically miss and stab yourself in the eye, and that skill challenge.
Well, no,
wait a minute.
You're trying to disenchant something before the dragon pops out and eats you, and you're like,
and the dragon pops out and eats you.
I'm going to summon Satan,
mm-hmm.
and then pops up. And
so
goes, hi, I'm taking
obviously, I'm still working. But what I'm trying to do with them is if I decide on something that session, I try to stay with it that session and not change it in the middle. Just to be fair,
the critical fumbles are particularly nasty, but they're designed to be that.
Oh,
way.
You should totally change it, just right in the middle.
No, you know, I don't.
Right out of,
I don't want to be you, Jeremy.
Just right at the top.
I don't.
Of your head.
I really.
No, I wait until the end.
No, I just don't want to be you. It's because really,
or
how can I aspire to be you, Jeremy?
You're just not that cool. We already
I know,
read
that's
that.
True.
We read that thing from the Urban Dictionary.
That's true. That you are cool, and we all have big. Well, anyway,
yeah.
Anyway, he goes on and says
mine,
it.
Mine was hilarious. Yeah, go to urbandictionary.com and type in my name and look at the first response.
And he does say, it stinks to be dazed for three rounds, which could take up to 15 to 60 minutes in real time. Now, I think that really is 15 to 60 seconds in real time. Because one round is about 6 seconds.
Well, no, but I think what he means is in the game itself.
Yeah, in the game, because 15 to 60 minutes in real time, yeah.
Usually when I'm dazed, I'm up close anyway, so I just hit the bastard.
And said, instead of double or triple damage, perhaps an additional die per multiplier would also lower the chances of extremely devastating blows. I think what I'm going to do with that is you'll just do max damage just like in a crit. So, but no, none of the double or triple damages type thing. So, the other option I have is if you can either do max damage or do double, triple damage, you actually have to just roll the dice for it. So, mm-hmm.
So you actually have to roll multiple dice.
So, I mean, there could be a thing of, I do 3 points of damage.
Or I do 57 points of damage, like we were doing last game.
It's you know, that happens.
I crit, and I do double damage, which is max damage times two. I do 20, and then plus 20.
The way I do it is either you do max, the way I'm thinking, I'm just going to do it from now on, is you do max damage, or you do double damage, which is just, you know, two times the modifier plus two dice rolls, so... And he asked the question, is Andre's Dragonborn Warlord's happy attitude inspired by the hedonism bought for Futurama?
Hedonism bought? No, actually...
He has a D6 for this.
He has an attitude die, and he rolls it at
which
the beginning
I,
of
which
every
I
day.
Which I desperately want to buy. If I can't find it beforehand, I'm going to buy it at Gen Con, probably. I need to ask him where he got that.
I think he got it from his gaming store in Lawrence.
Oh, tabletop, yeah.
Or not tabletop.
Hometown.
Hometown Games.
Yeah. Anyway, he says, dig all the shows. May Little Bear go to the Great Cave. May Little Bear go to the Great Cave prostitutes in the sky.
I refuse. I'm going to drag his soul back into his body and bring him back to life. So, God damn it!
Yes, Little Bear in the Deadlands
game.
Send him
to the cave prostitutes.
I don't think Little Bear would go
they
to the
don't
cave prostitutes.
Shave or bathe.
That's kind of nasty, yeah. Really.
I think Little Bear will go for his own women who are not prostitutes.
Anyway, we got another email from another one of our regular listeners, Sanjian Unkara, otherwise known as Jason. We like Sanjian Unkara because it's like a Bond villain. You know, I am Sanjian Unkara, or you know, like someone out of a pulp novel.
Does he have a white cat?
I don't know. Sanjian, do you have a white cat? Persian You'll cat. Have to let us
Actually,
know.
He reminds me of like the name of like one of those bad guys in those old 1970s Chop Suey Hook
movies. Yeah.
So he's like, I'm
Sanjian
Unkara.
Yeah. Or really, it's I really expect him to be a villain in an Indiana Jones movie. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, going Kalima Shakti Day and ripping parts out. But, you know, anyway, he said, just got through one shot today, and he's talking about really the Earthdawn one shot. Just got through your one shot today at work and was laughing my ass off the whole time. With all the charts the game seems to need and the convoluted dice mechanics, it just doesn't seem like that much of a fun system. It seems like it would take quite a bit of practice to learn to keep all the chairs or the characters, stats, and dice straight. Nathan, this game was, in my opinion, a smashing success. Not for the game itself. I have the same file, by the way, but my PCs are different. But for the difficulty you had in reading it and the side conversations and amusing banter that was going on around it. I did, however, find one mistake you made with the rolls. The dice explode just like in L5R or World of Darkness. If you keep rolling a 10 and on a D10, you keep rolling it until you don't get a 10.
Yeah. Did I say otherwise?
Yes, you said it only exploded once, which is fine. It doesn't matter.
I thought it says somewhere in the book that it explodes a specific way, and I think it only explodes once.
Well, he actually cites it. Says in the book, it says, if, for example, if you roll step 7, which is a d12, and the die rolls a 12, you roll it again. If it shows another 12, you get to roll it again. Once it shows any other number, you stop re-rolling and add all the results of the individual dice together to determine the test result.
That may actually be different for the players and the actual GM, because I think the GM rolls differently.
Anyway, I also have another quick start encounter called Caer Tardim. It seems to be simpler than Misguided Ambitions, which was the adventure we did. It is with less charts to look at. After the hilarity that was Earthdawn, I now have another suggestion for you guys to try if you haven't yet. My first suggestion was KAMB. Now that's Kobolds Ate My Baby for those people who don't know that, and we do have access to a copy of that. We may give that a shot at some point.
Yeah,
maybe at CantCon.
Yeah.
I still think your group would make fantastic listening in that game. However, my new suggestion is this: Nathan would have to GM, Ethan and Andre would have to play, and the girls would enjoy it. Becca, Rachel, sorry, I don't remember the young lady that sat in for Becca on Redux Session 2. That was Jessica, Andre's girlfriend. I suggest Nathan GM as for the simple reason that he has run many games of Call of Cthulhu in the past, even as recently as CantCon. The game is Poke-Thulu.
I've heard of it. I'm not going to
I have seen it, yes.
Got to eat them all.
Got to eat them all, Poke-Thulu, yes. Yeah. It says later days, Jason. So thank you, Sanjian Unkara. We know your real identity.
I think with the way the rules are set up in Earthdawn, yes, the player's dies constantly explode, but I think the GM's die only explodes once.
That might be the case, but hey, you know,
it might
whatever.
Be a game mechanic, but I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that the die only explodes once in some specific way. So please look that up, see if you can find the sighting for that, because if it constantly explodes, you guys would have been screwed, because that last guy, I rolled like...
Mm-hmm.
I rolled the max number on the die twice in a row and stopped.
By that point, we had eye strain from looking at charts too much.
Yeah,
so, you know.
I don't blame you.
Charts make everything better.
Dude, this is not Rollmaster or Gate War.
We don't roll for everything.
Or God Champions. There's no charts in Champions. It just all looks like tax forms.
Honestly, the thing is,
want to roleplay a tax audit. Okay, let's play Champions 4th Edition.
No! Okay. Honestly, the thing with Earthdawn is yes, there are a lot of charts that are involved, but the thing is the main problem with our playing of Earthdawn was, we were doing it as a single session.
Yes.
A single, quick thing. That system is not designed for that.
And really, it was, you know, friends getting together to hang out a bit.
Yeah,
so,
the thing was, it was...
That's the whole point of our one-shots line.
That one-shot, honestly, was run for Rowan, the young woman Rowan, who showed up. And she only comes up once a year. We only get to see her around around Christmas once a year. And so every year I run something for her.
A brief preview is, I am considering... I'm seeing if I can get Jeremy's attention back here. I am considering maybe, possibly, running a one-shot Star Wars at some point.
I would play that.
I would play that.
That would probably be Star Wars Saga Edition, though.
I don't know anything about that.
It's like the D20 one, but balanced.
Okay. Well,
balanced?
I know.
Like, to what?
Well...
The crap?
No, in that, you know, everyone doesn't need to play Jedis to be awesome.
You don't have to play Jedis, but you might as well, because Jedis are awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, well...
Well, in the original first release of the Star Wars D20 book, the Jedis
really,
were...
it was an excuse to play Jedis, because that's...
Everything
they had
just,
4 bajillion dice to use, and everyone else was sort of like, I'm kind of anemic. Yeah.
Actually, they were.
The D20 version did about the same thing, but apparently they fixed that in Saga Edition.
Well, they actually fixed it in the revised edition of the D20.
They fixed it more in Saga Edition, I should say.
But, now, Earthdawn, before we get completely away from that, Earthdawn was run specifically because I was requested to be run. Next year, we are running Chill. For those of you out there who remember that game, it's by Mayfair Games. It got killed.
Still available as a PDF from RPG Now.
Unfortunately, Mayfair
Visit our Games, website, click on our RPG Now link to, you know, support us.
TSR killed it. They sued Mayfair Games and won, and Mayfair Games had to actually stop publishing the game. But apparently, it's a very good game that's like... Call of Cthulhu only with like the hammer horror type monsters rather than, you know, nameless creatures.
It sounds pretty cool. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It reminds me of
and it's not quite as depressing.
What was that Palladium game? Beyond the Supernatural?
Beyond the Supernatural.
Yeah.
Only a little bit easier to make the characters. I've already gone
through
the
characters. Well, yeah, it's Palladium, you know, you can never do anything easy in Palladium. Well, the only thing good really Palladium does is absorb cat pee.
Yep.
Really.
And the familiar creations were actually pretty
sweet. Yeah, I do agree on
until
that.
You got to MDC and, you know, it took you 4 hours to make, you know, a character.
That was just...
No, like I said, the familiar creations.
Yeah,
the rest of it is crap.
I'm just really wanting us to get a death threat for dogging on Palladium, so, you know, Palladium sucks.
Didn't their fans save them?
Yeah.
Yes, twice. Okay. You know. It's because their fans are crazy, you know.
Well, I have to admit, TMNT and Other Strangeness was cool.
Yes, but they don't do that anymore.
I know, they lost the license. But no, it was cool when they did it, though.
See,
you have to admit.
I, for one, would love, you know, Green Ronin to get that license and maybe stick him in Mutants and Masterminds. Make it release a Mutants and Masterminds TMNT source book would be pretty sweet.
That would
be, you know.
Awesome.
Oh, well, you know, we all have our own, you know, dreams.
You could do that just with the rules as is.
Oh, yeah, pretty easily. Yeah. But it would be nice to actually have an official one.
The really cool thing about, like, creating the characters in the TMNT and Other Strangest Thing was you could use you had a certain amount of bio points to buy your
race. Oh, yeah, and I used to have a bunch of the TMNT and Other Strangeness stuff, and I remember I just made characters because it was fun.
Yeah,
I thought it was funny to have a Teenage Ninja Wombat.
Yeah.
Or a platypus.
Who couldn't speak.
Yes.
Or like, did guttural language because their vocal cords weren't formed fully. So they're
Or there were what was after the bomb, Mutants Down Under. Was one of my personal favorites.
Really cool. You have mutant wombats.
Yeah. And you can find these books at, you know, used stores. In fact, you can find it at
practically
our sponsor, Noble Knight, probably has a bunch, Noble Knight Games. So visit our site and click on our link to them as well.
Next year we're going to play Chill, and so keep an eye
out
for
maybe at some point we should play TMNT and Other Strangeness or something. That'd be a lot of fun. I never actually did get a chance to play that.
I have a first edition copy. Mm-hmm. It's sitting in a box somewhere. I have to find it. Yeah. But yeah.
You can find them pretty easily at used bookstores and whatnot. They're everywhere because it's Palladium and they have 40 bajillion copies.
It was not a bad game.
Oh no! So I love TMNT, and it was based on the comics. So.
Yeah, so it was very violent.
Very violent, yes. Anyway, moving on. We got another email from Joe McJoe, for some more comments on D&D. Just a few comments on your Keep on the Shadowfell game. If I'm being a bit being a ticky-tacky jerk, let me know, and I'll cease commenting about the rules. Just trying to help. Oh, no, keep commenting, because we'll keep making fun of you.
Yeah.
The Warden's opportunity actions happen at a different time. One is an interrupt, and the other is a reaction.
They're both immediate. Immediate interrupt and immediate action is what it says on the cards.
Well, it's immediate interrupt, immediate reaction. Those are different things, but I honestly don't care. I want you guys to have fun. So a reaction happens after the trigger, i.e. monster attacks someone who not the warden, then the warden attacks. Whereas an interrupt happens before the triggering action, i.e. the monster attacks someone not the warden, and the warden smacks him before the monster's blow lands. Whatever. Anyway.
Yeah.
Reach and a character. This is one thing I was doing wrong. Is reach a character does not threaten non-adjacent squares with reach. So he only threatens the adjacent one. So monsters work the same unless they have the quality threatening reach.
That is
which
a good
is fine.
Point though, because while as a GM you might not care that much, as a player that's good to know that rule though.
Yeah.
Because
immediate interrupts and immediate action is a reaction.
Yeah, when it occurs.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I did it on the big nasty guy, because it's like he went to attack someone else. I'm like, immediate interrupt, knock him down the hill.
Yeah.
Keep him away. So because she was really in a
bad
situation.
So an interrupt interrupts and a reaction is after. Right. So, that's good to know.
And I kind of figured that.
And the reach thing, that I had completely forgot about that. So Hunter's Quarry is not a mark, just like the Warlock's Curse is not a mark. They are just damage boosts. So that is something I was doing wrong. The thing marked the Hunter's Quarry for a ranger is what he's talking about. Yeah.
We weren't sure.
We should have just looked in the book, but I didn't want to flip through the book at the time.
And I had forgotten that teleport does not, if you teleport away, it does not
evoke an action.
Evoke an attack of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
There's only two.
There's only very few
now.
Things that
right.
provoke.
Like two or three things.
It's like ranged attacks from moving out of a threatened area, basically. And the cleric has a class ability called Healer's Lore. She adds his wisdom modifier to heals to all powers with the healing keyword. Yes, I do know that, and I'm not sure if Mike has been doing that or not.
I don't think he has.
The wisdom modifier, yeah.
He has a +5 for his wisdom modifier.
Anyway, dig the cast, keep on trucking. We're not truckers, Joe, but that's fine.
Thank you. I'm still a lot.
And we just like making fun of people who send us emails.
Yeah, my reservations.
Funny. And you all know it's all in good fun. We love you, Joe. We do. Thank you for letting me know that, though. That is, your messages are very nice.
Yeah, my reservations for 4th Ed D&D have not been resolved. So, whereas it's not a bad system, and I agree with everybody that it is not a bad system. It is not a system that I really would go out of my way to play.
To each their own. I really dig it. I think Jeremy really digs it. Eric really digs it. So, I mean, but ultimately, and I've been looking through the Saga Edition a bit, and Saga Edition is sort of a halfway point between 4th Edition and 3rd Edition type of stuff, and I think you'd probably like that a bit more. It's a bit more crunchy.
Well, see, the thing is I've read
and the Pathfinder thing is very nice.
I've read the finalized Pathfinder book, and that mm-hmm. book is really cool. It is,
and I'm not saying I won't play a 3rd Ed, or 3.75 game at all. I mean, I will. I'll play it whatever, you know. So
I like the Pathfinder.
I just most likely will just run 4th Edition, especially since Dark Sun is coming out as 4th Edition.
Yeah, I will play 4th Ed to play Dark Sun. I admit it.
That's my next D&D campaign is Dark Sun.
Yeah.
Totally. Finally doing Dark Sun.
Finally.
Only been wanting to do that since Shattered Lands came out on the PC.
Back in 95?
Back in, you know, the old Stone Age of computers when, you know, we were writing dinosaurs and hand cranking things, you know. Hand cranking our iPods.
What iPod?
I know, exactly. It was a Discman at the time.
It was
thank
an
you.
I had a Walkman. I did not have a Discman. So
sigh.
But I bet you my computer kicked your computer's ass.
Yeah, probably, because I didn't have one. Although, no, at 95, I probably at the time still had my Commodore 128D.
And 95, I had my...
I don't care. Amiga, the Commodore 128D still ruled.
We had a Commodore 64. We had the 46 desktop. I had my own personal Pentium 100 and my Amiga
A600. I missed that computer.
Oh, sweet.
Anyway.
I did find one. I saw someone selling one, a full complete setup through AmiBay.
Mm-hmm. And you said it sold like in like 3 minutes.
I post. I went to reply to it. It was sold. Yep. Someone had already like, I'm interested. Hey. Boom. They wanted like $100 for it. Had the monitor. Had the keyboard. It was.
I would have ponied up $100 for that.
Oh, anyway. Actually, on that same thing, somebody was giving away like 1,000 Commodore 64 games. On Craigslist.
Yes, Jeremy has developed an obscene fascination with Craigslist.
Because it's so ridiculous.
It is funny. He and I were looking at it the other day. There are some really funny stuff on there.
Free baby food. Know? Who's going to take free baby food?
God only knows if it's expired.
It's hysterical, really.
Or the guy put poison in it, or, you know.
Or, you know, razor blades or whatever.
Razor blades.
You know? Plus, there are the ones who are, like, you know, wanting prostitutes, but, you know.
Yeah.
Those are just amusing, really. But anyway, Joe sent us another email. Joe, you're just sending us emails all the time. Do you not have a life?
Yeah, it's
anyway,
to send us, you know, his life is to send us emails.
Oh, it is. Cool. So Joe must be our stalker. Joe, you're... Anyway.
Awesome.
Joe said, for CantCon and other stuff, is for CantCon, you might be able to rent out some rooms at a local school or government building. Yeah, I know. We're working on that. Can't really talk about it right now, but, you know, we're doing that. In California, many churches and other organizations use public buildings for meetings. Yeah, well, around here in the lovely Bible Belt, not going to find
a
lot of churches open to allowing us to have. We mentioned, you know, who is it, the people out in Independence that basically suddenly decided not to talk to us when they find out we were doing tabletop games.
I don't remember. It's funny.
No.
They
I think you said it was the Independence Community Center.
Convention Center. Uh-huh. Or Community Center. And they're like, oh, that would be great. We're wonderful. And it's like, so what are you doing? Well, we're going to be running a convention for people to come together to play tabletop games, you know, board games, card games, role-playing games. Oh, well, I'm sorry. We're sorry, but I think we're booked.
Yeah.
And that was the end of that conversation.
That is ridiculous. People act like that.
And he wanted us to make sure that we mention the RPG Now donations for Haiti for Doctors Without Borders. And we'll talk about that more in the three-parter coming
done,
up.
I think because the link doesn't...
Is it not there anymore?
Well, the link is... I clicked on the link from our site, and it says it's not there anymore, but I'm still wondering.
They probably have finished. Yeah, it's not on their front page anymore either. But that's too bad. But we'll talk about it a bit here in the three-parter. But yeah, the RPG Now was taking donations for Haiti relief, and I don't know how much they ended up getting when I checked.
It was
about
pretty
good chunk. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. Let's see. We got an email from our favorite pagan. Gary the Pagan, Gary the Eighth Pagan. What's the name of the seventh pagan? I know you killed the first seven, so remember the names. Are the names unimportant?
Ooh,
and is there
wear their skin?
I don't want to know. Is there a ninth pagan?
I'm just curious if you got the name Ultima, or if you got the name Eighth Pagan from Ultima 8 Pagan, which was the name of the game.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, he said
that skin too.
He says, "Hi again. No reason as to why I'm the eighth pagan is rather boring and not worth discussing. The Nazis are dealt with, and by the time you read this, I'll be far across the galaxy recruiting a bunch of misfits for a suicide mission." Sweet, kind of random, but sweet.
Yeah, awesome.
We love killing Nazis and beating on Nazis because who doesn't? And as far as being across the galaxy recruiting a bunch of misfits, I hope you have internet access and you can actually listen to the show. So, and for a suicide mission, I hope the misfits are going on the suicide mission.
Yeah, not you.
And not you. Because then we'd lose our pagan. We'll lose the eighth pagan and we'd have to turn to the ninth pagan or something. If whoever kills you, is that the ninth? Are they become the ninth? Is it like Highlander?
Take his power.
You know, they chop off your head and
power. Not heads. It's skin.
Skin?
Jeremy just likes the idea
Jeremy
of skin
is,
people.
Jeremy has picked up some bad things, I think.
If you're a pagan, that's what you do.
And I actually spotted a few news bits I wanted to just sort of stick in here that we've obviously already mentioned. Wizards of the Coast is not renewing the Star Wars license. So
sad.
They confirmed that when the Star Wars license comes up for renewal in May, they will not seek to renew it. He said we had a long and fantastic run, but with the economic downturn, we have made the tough decision to discontinue the Star Wars lines. So if you people are wanting Star Wars stuff, go out and buy it now, because their products for Star Wars minis and Star Wars RPG will be available through August, with multiple new releases scheduled through April. So they've had the license since 2002, and they picked it up from Decipher. The Star Wars game will no longer be out from Wizards of the Coast, so it'll be an open license at the moment.
That might mean that some of the figures might go on sale at some point.
Yep. So keep your eye. People need to keep their eyes open for that stuff. Or if you are looking into getting the Saga Edition, you know, pick it up now while it's still available. I would say so. That's what I did. I went to Noble Knight Games and picked it up. So I would suggest you people do the same by visiting our website and clicking on the link. Anyway,
I got to point something out. Let's see if this.
Jeremy likes to point things. He's pointing now.
Let's see if it. Just if you look at these two guys, and I didn't read this, so but it looks like these are two gamers, right?
Uh huh.
And if you'll notice, if you don't really look at it, like, dang it.
Oh yes, the D&D Heroescape is out, and I'm not very impressed by it.
That's sad. But doesn't it look like they're wearing the same matching, like, weird robes?
They are wearing the same matching weird robes. We're talking about a picture we're seeing on the D&D website. So, and great radio. We're looking at visuals and talking about it. It's wonderful. Anyway, another piece of news I found that should get some people excited here is everyone remembers knows the Monsterpocalypse game.
Monsterpocalypse
from gosh, I can't remember who does it.
I can't
it
remember
now.
Who does it.
Privateer Press. Privateer right. Press. They have fixed up their first licensed expansion, and it will be Voltron: Defenders of the Universe.
Yeah, and I was trying.
Do you know
to
what
find
the second
Monsterpocalypse is? The monsters collectible miniatures game. They have obtained the license to Voltron.
They're trying to obtain a license for Toho Monsters.
Yes, I know.
Godzilla,
but
and
scheduled
Greer's.
For release in July of 2010, awesome. The expansion will be fully compatible with the current releases currently available Monsterpocalypse titles. The two-player Voltron Defender of the Universe battle miniatures game for $50 will include everything needed to play Voltron and the Galaxy Alliance against the nemesis Lotron and the Drool Empire.
That is so freaking awesome.
To promote the release, Privateer Press is offering a special launch kit for brick-and-mortar retail stores. The launch kit includes 8 copies of the two-player game, along with 2 limited-run Mega Voltron figures. So, I may have to pick up a Voltron thing just to say, dude, I've got a Voltron. And it's awesome. And we're talking the Lion's Voltron. So, they've got an image of the box, and it's Monsterpocalypse with
Voltron.
Know, Voltron, right there. See?
I can't wait till they get the license for Toho Monsters.
Yes, hopefully it's mean. I mean, it sounds like the Monsterpocalypse game is doing very well, so which is very good.
Everybody wants to play a monster game where they get to stomp.
Hopefully,
a city.
Be working on getting some new stuff. So we'll see with what else they come up with. I'd love to see the Toho Monsters. Would be pretty sweet. You know, obviously Godzilla, Gigan, all those.
Yeah, my Anguirus, Radon.
But if they're doing Voltron, you know, they could do the vehicle Voltron. I don't know why it's kind of lame.
The car one? Yeah. That was a completely different series.
If we're going obscure, Dino Riders. Yeah.
The funny thing is what we call Voltron here, like the lion one, is actually called Go Lion Katai.
You know, and what would be even cooler is if, you know, someone, you know, went to Palladium and, you know, stole the Robotech license and they got the Robotech license. It would be even better. But, yeah. You know, that's not going to happen because Palladium sucks. All right. Got an email from someone new, Christopher J. Wilms. Now, I don't know why I want to read this in a British accent, but it just feels like I should. But Christopher Wilms said, "Hello, just finished listening to episode 58 and have 2 comments and suggestions. One, you were looking for an inexpensive place to hold a gathering. I recommend you check with your local institution of higher learning." Yes, we are doing that. "I would imagine your college has conference rooms of some sort which can be reserved by student organizations or students individually. Here at Crichton," so I think Crichton is in Britain, so maybe we have another person in Britain. Where
Crichton
is Crichton?
University? How, Crichton? Where is it spelled?
C-R-E-I-G-H-T-O-N.
No, that's a...
Anyway, we're using the magic of the interwebs. He says, "We've got seminar rooms, which are smaller than a classroom and used when an instructor wants to split a class into several groups for group discussion. The library has 10 group study rooms, each of which...
dentistry.
Which consists, you're Omaha. A dentist? You're in Omaha?
Sweet. Omaha, Nebraska.
So you're not British. Man, I liked you more when you were British.
Maybe
okay, not
British.
Really.
Maybe he came over.
Okay, you're officially British in Omaha. The library has the 10 group study rooms, each of which consists of a 6-chair table and a whiteboard, perfect for board gaming. Really, role-playing gaming, I'm assuming. Anyway, better yet, weekends and summers are low demand times for these types of resources, so you probably won't have problems getting a reservation. Anyway, he had something to talk about. The Versa tool that Jeremy and I talked about. He agrees with he says Jeremy's statement, but it was actually Nathan's statement, that it would be unsuitable for electronic soldering, although not because it's underpowered. To the contrary, a 25-watt soldering iron is perfect for both through-hole and point-to-point electronics work. And he gives some links. I've been using a 25-watt soldering iron for years now, and it works great. The only time I felt I needed more heat was when making a ground connection to an audio amplifier.
Ask him, well, one of the things that he might need to look into is how long it takes him to tin a wire, because tinning wires is a very common thing used for soldering irons, and it takes a long time. 25 watts.
I would say also that the Versa tool is not for electronic stuff. It's
no.
Like making jewelry, so it doesn't really matter.
So for
anyway,
that, yeah,
many wires need to be soldered to the metal chassis of an amplifier itself, and chassis acting like a giant heat sink could never get hot enough to make a good electrical solder point.
Well,
excellent.
The problem
now,
is you end up melting the wire covering the whole wire.
Anyway,
it burns through wood, and that's what
awesome.
It needs to
yes.
do.
Rather, the reason the Versa tool is unsuitable for electronics is that it gets too hot. The listed max temperature for the Versa tool is 950 degrees. Most soldering irons designed for electronics max out at about 800 or 850. The lead-based solder that your typical electronics hobbyist use melts at about 370 degrees.
Well, most of us actually don't use lead-based solder anymore because the ROHS,
reduction
like
lead.
Substances. We actually
lead
have to
is
use
awesome.
A silver-based material, which has a very much has a
Nathan is on his soapbox now.
So. Has a much higher melting point and also is much more brittle because it requires more heat to melt.
And I bet the Versa tool is constructed just like your everyday soldering iron with a niche chrome heating element in the shaft. But looking at the pictures, the Versa tool shaft is shorter than normal, so it fits a 25-watt element in a smaller space, thereby getting hotter than your typical iron. Yeah,
it burns
cool.
wood.
It burns wood, and that's what
and,
I use it for. I made a little Deadland sign even.
That's awesome.
It's about this big, you know, an inch by 4 inches, and it hangs from my GM screen. Anyway.
Again, like I said, I wouldn't recommend using it for electronics.
And now we're
and
on
that was
to...
Nathan, not Jeremy.
No, Jeremy
yes.
thought it would work fine for
yes.
it.
Yes.
No. For soldering, not electronics.
Yes.
Totally different.
Just want to make sure we're understanding. We're using it for
miniatures.
Soldering, like... You can solder miniatures, jewelry. Mainly, I would think it's for jewelry. It's what
yeah,
the one
jewelry,
you use it for. It's a versatile.
I've never
anyway.
Heard called soldering for when you do work on minis to put mini pieces together.
It
he
might
just,
not
he
be
just
called.
Did. Anyway,
you know what? Doesn't
you might be right.
Doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, that I could see it working well for.
Anyway, and the third thing is he has a suggestion because episode 58 was our LARPing episode. Regarding the LARP conversation, who is your target audience? I kept asking myself that while listening. You do new listeners a service by defining LARP in your introduction, but then you relate your personal experiences and give options on various related matters without ever giving a basic description of LARP in general. So, I mean, do people just get into two groups and have at it until someone blows a whistle? Is there some pre-planned plot that is supposed to be followed? Well, sometimes yes. Then, to make things more confusing, you meant terms like Canar and FCA and Boffer and Token and Nero.
Not F. S is in Sierra. Society for Creative Anachronisms, Canar is Knights and Nobles
oh,
and Rogues.
Oh, SCA, yes. These things never defined and not even in a broad
New
qualitative
England
sense. Well, okay. First, Canar was a local, I think it's still
right.
around.
No, it's not local. It was a localized version of a game that's actually played out of... Minnesota.
Yeah. And it's like Canar, Nero, FCA. Those are organizations that do that actually yeah. have a LARP and live action role play is like role playing around a table, except you're putting on a costume and generally putting on a costume, going outside and you know walking around and acting and whatnot.
Now,
Token, basically, Boffer LARPing is sort of the term used to describe those LARPs that actually have
weapons.
Big foam weapons that you hit each other with. And tokens are really, it's just like just what it sounds like. It's like a little
it's random.
Like a little token, random. Basic thing. Or like, you know, poker chips that they use to,
yeah.
you know, hand out. Items, or you know, you draw a token out of a bag, and that's your action
yeah.
type of thing. So there's also places that do rock paper scissors,
yep.
you know, various things. So,
but to answer his question about the confusing terms, KNAR stood for Knights and Nobles and Rogues. It is a game that's played in Kansas City, Kansas. Well, actually, I think it's technically it's Missouri, and it's also played somewhere in Minnesota. There's NERO. NERO stands for New England Role Playing Organization,
And it's a much broader, bigger organization. It's played everywhere.
It's played everywhere.
Obviously from New England, but it's another. And they have their own universe setting type of thing that they play in.
SCA stands for Society for Creative Anachronisms, or Society.
They mainly get together and beat on each other with real weapons. Yeah, they're not boffer
weapons.
Real armor and use real shields and weapons and go. And usually, I think the weapons are usually blunted.
Well, they're not necessarily metal. A lot of them use like wooden replacement weapons. But yeah, they're not.
And that's
weapons.
S is in Sam, yeah, SCA.
The kids use wood.
A lot of the SCA people are crazy. So
The SCA people are very serious people.
Yeah, very serious about authenticity.
They're also classified by the by the United States government as a freestanding military. If they choose to mobilize and march, they're classified as a military presence, which means that if something happens and the government states that all freestanding militaries must mobilize and go to a certain place, SCA is obliged.
SCA grabs their armor and their swords and gets mowed down on the battlefield. All right.
Yeah.
So the only group of people who listen to episode 58 who can actually understand it are those who themselves participate in LARP with some regularity. If that's your only intended audience, then I apologize, but you're doing yourself a disservice by narrowing your focus like that.
I don't know.
If you're hoping to encourage listeners to try LARP for the first time, then I'm afraid you lost us. Nevertheless, keep up the good work. Chris
I don't
Holmes.
Think we were actually encouraging people to play LARPs.
No, because we've all really sort of given up on the whole LARPing thing. And
don't get me wrong. I love the sword fighting.
And
I
Robin is, of course, looking at us like our heads are on fire. Because she's like, who in God's name would LARP? That's crazy.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
Your husband. That's who.
I love the idea of...
Used to.
I love the idea of sword fighting. I love practicing sword fighting. Mm-hmm. I get a great kick out of it.
It was a good... It was a lot of good exercise, you know.
They just see him running around.
Yes.
Throwing beanbags at people, screaming, lightning bolt! Lightning bolt!
That's there are a lot of documentaries out there that talk about it.
Then you actually tell them how much damage it does, in addition to any effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, and combat immediately.
It's cowboys and Indians for grown-ups.
Yeah,
right.
I never had a problem with it.
Those ones of us that are sane like to sit around a table where it's air-conditioned or heated and do it there. So,
hey, there was,
and not, you know, generally not sticking of bad, you know, people who have not taken showers in 6 days.
Now, that's not necessarily true for the long enough I said, had showers at a KNAR.
I said generally, you know. But gosh. Okay. But thank you, Chris, for calling us on various things. You will be our resident nitpicker.
Add him to the nitpicking.
You're on the nitpick list.
But that's okay. We do like to have feedback.
Yes, we do like the feedback. Thank you.
I don't think our intention of the live action role playing game podcast was to get people interested in LARPs. As a matter of fact, I think we kind of emphasized against that.
Yes,
because the fact
and we've just all had some bad experiences with it. So there might be. I don't doubt that there are good LARPs out there.
Well, no,
they're just not for me.
Nero's not a bad LARP. The problem is
you just got to watch what people are in them. Really,
yeah. That's the problem. You have to watch out for everybody else. You have to watch the way you do it, because anything that requires actual contact, someone's going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point in time, it's going to be
unless it's
you.
Properly supervised. And really, it's just speaking from a legal standpoint, it's a huge liability issue.
That's why you have forms that you have to fill out.
Can't con, no LARPing.
Well, LARPs are also a lot bigger.
Yeah. You generally have, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 people, you know.
A lot of personalities there. It's not just your... group of friends.
It's
you have no idea. How
it's not the six
react.
Of us, you know, around the table.
Unfortunate personalities.
Yes, like people who you know
and
smack you in the throat with a boffer weapon. Anyway,
I never got hit in the throat with a boffer weapon.
But Anthony did.
I got threatened that someone was going to poison me because they thought my arrows weren't legal. Which is funny because the way you test those, is you take a shot to the crotch at 10 feet.
We went over that in the LARPing episode.
Yeah. I was explaining it to her.
Yes.
Which means if I can take a shot at 10 feet and not fall over painful.
We got an email from Benjamin Johnson, who said, I've really enjoyed listening to your podcast. I listened to some of the actual play feed and also to the Gamers Haven feed.
I've not caught up to your current show. I'm still at about show 38 on the Gamers Haven feed. I'm writing to let you know that I've seen a problem in the actual play feed, that there are two entries that point to the same audio file, and they're CantCon Actual Play 7C Disentanglement Part 3 and 4. Both point to Part 3, apparently. Ironically, that was the only CantCon audio I did not listen to, so I will get that fixed as soon as humanly possible. And yes, there is a part. You say, do you have a part four? If so, can you update part four to point to it? Yes, I can do that. I will do that immediately, as soon as possible type of thing. So by the time you hear this, it should be good to go. So I really enjoy the actual play. I haven't ever thought about doing an actual play until I saw Penny Arcade doing actual play with WotC. So I started searching and found you all. Yes, well, we're much better. Penny Arcade's funny, but we're just awesome, really. Right, Jeremy? We're awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan, we're awesome.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So, yeah, we're awesome. Robin, we're awesome. See, there you go. It's motion carried. We're all awesome. You provide me with lots of entertainment on my commute to and from work, and also when I am doing odd and end jobs around the house. Since my gaming group was dissolved around a year and a half ago, this has allowed me to feel like I'm still involved in a game to some level. Thanks, Ben. Well, Ben, we're happy that you feel involved in something. We all need that.
Sucks that his gaming group dissolved.
Yeah, it does suck that your gaming group has dissolved. You should, find them all.
You should rebuild them.
And you should build them stronger, faster. Yes, you have the technology.
Hopefully, if he's an engineer.
Or you just, chop people up and make Frankensteins, and they're your gaming group. You could have severed heads, and it'll be your shadow council.
Yeah.
But now I'm getting into illegal things, so,
How?
You could have action figures and talk to them all the
brains
time.
Brains in jars?
Brains in jars?
If they're psychic,
we like brains in
they
jars.
They can roll the dice.
That's true. Well, that is that's it for all of our lovely emails and whatnot. So,
we don't have any more hate mail, though, from the guy that...
No, Dave. Dave Griffin. Man.
Why? Send emails.
I want you to email me and tell me horrible things.
I mean,
this is what I live for.
Game we had.
I didn't hear a peep out of you when I killed my brother's character. Nothing.
And we stopped listening to it since he hated it so much.
I know. I know. We're up to, episode, session 22 now. We're actually almost at... Been playing that for about a year now, so getting close.
I'm disturbed somewhat, though intrigued, by D&D 4th Edition Gamma World.
They're doing a D&D 4th Edition Gamma World?
They're doing Gamma World.
It's Gamma World.
Gamma World was a crazy, crazy game
it's
system.
4th Edition, it's basically a mutant Earth, way post-apocalyptic.
Ookie dokie.
Yeah,
it's. I think Gamma World's supposed to be. I know that's Hollow.
A little
World.
Bit of sci-fi, but most of it's still magic and.
Yeah,
it's more about mutants.
Oh, I would understand if that. If
than
that
magic
is that is that an announcement they just made about a new setting or?
Yeah, October 9th, the 19th of 2010.
It's coming out that soon.
Yeah, October 19th of 2010.
Wow.
Huh.
A wacky, wily role-playing game of post-apocalyptic peril. You must contend with radioactive waste, ravaged cities, and rampant lawlessness.
And giant intelligent plants.
I describe that as wacky.
I mean, it might be really amusing. I mean...
The original Gamma World was messed up. You could make an intelligent carnivorous plant.
Yes, yeah. Apparently.
And play as...
They have loot powered
Wizards of the Coast...
mutant power deck.
I'm going to their site right now to look.
Yeah, they have tons of stuff. I am actually interested in the Castle Ravenloft board game.
Yeah, there is that.
A castle Ravenloft board game.
Yeah. It's Ravenloft.
Yeah, I don't really care for Ravenloft. Maybe it's because the only time I've ever played it was under a person who was attempting to kill us off at every
turn.
Yeah,
but that was just a bad experience. Ravenloft by itself is actually pretty cool.
Did you have the fortune of playing
Evil
Knights?
No, Ezra. Under Ezra.
No. Yes. I know their races book just came out for Dragonborn. It looks like this December the humans book is coming out.
No it's kind of cool. It looks
I'll probably skip those.
I'm not sure I did those, but it looks like Player's Handbook 3.
There's also we're just looking at the Wizards of the Coast website and some of the new stuff. Yeah, and actually it's
at least give my players a chance to keep
Castle Ravenloft.
They have a product coming out called Monster Vault.
Yeah, that looks interesting.
Collects all of the the iconic monsters in the D&D world in one handy box and presents all new variants.
Well, the tokens might not be bad. There's the Dungeon Master's Kit.
Yeah.
That doesn't look
there
too bad.
There is...
Is that all fourth ed stuff, I take it?
Yeah, that's all they released.
That's all they released now.
That's the new system.
Yeah.
But later this year, we're looking they're putting out a fourth edition version of Tomb of Horrors.
That's pretty cool.
There's Demonomicon. There's the Castle Ravenloft board game, which actually looks pretty sweet.
What did you not like about the Heroescape battle set?
It's $40 and comes with about 12 miniatures.
Mm. I was like, $40?
Yeah, that's
lame. Maybe it's about $30, but either way, $30 or $40.
A lot of money.
The only reason I would have bought it was for the minis.
Yeah, $30.
That's just not going to happen.
That's not enough figures. 50 terrain pieces, but 12 figs isn't enough.
No, that's not enough. 50 terrain pieces is nice, but
Terrain is okay.
You spend what, $60 in the first set, and you get like 30 or 40 figs.
It looks like, here's interesting. In September of this year, they are releasing the Dungeons & Dragons Fantasy Role-Playing Game boxed set.
Right.
32-page book for players with rules for character creation and a solo adventure, plus a 64-page book for Dungeon Masters with rules of the game, advice on how to run the game and adventure content, 2 sheets of die-cut tokens for characters and monsters, cardstock character sheets and power cards, double-sided dungeon map, and 6 polyhedral dice. And for all of those D&D fans out there, it's a red box.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty cool.
That's
Red
awesome.
Red Box was the first box of Dungeons and Dragons that you could buy.
They're all old school.
It's like they're also putting out a rules compendium.
Yeah, I did see that. I'm more interested in
the Gamma World RPG.
That might be interesting. I'm more interested in the DM's kit.
DM's kit, yeah.
Because it comes with token monsters, too. Maybe they're cheaper.
Dungeons of Dragon. Another board game called Dungeons of Dragonfire Mountain.
Dungeons of Dragonfire Mountain?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They're doing Dragonfire Mountain again?
As a board game.
As a board game, though. No, I mean, I don't know.
I'll have to check it out.
That comes out in November, so.
I liked Dragonfire Mountain. Dragonfire Mountain
was
cool.
And the thing is, I mean, you can always steal the figures and cards and stuff from it and just use them.
No, the Dragonfire Mountain adventure itself was really freaking cool. It came with the music CD, remember, with the sword fighting and stuff on it and with the cannon shots and crap?
No, I think I do remember that, yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, Monster Manual 3 comes out in June.
Well, two games of it before he left.
Yeah.
But he gave it to you with the promise that he would run it again.
I've still got it sealed, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He promised with the promise that if he ever came back down, we'd run it again.
That's Dragon Mountain, not a...
Dragonfire Mountain.
No, it's just Dragon Mountain. Mm-hmm.
You're thinking of something else, because, yes, I have the Dragon Mountain and I have it sealed.
Yeah. Because Mike said he would come, when he came back down, he would run it for us.
It's full of kobolds.
It's full of kobolds?
Yes.
We have you!
That's basically what it is. Kobolds. Lots of kobolds.
But it looks like, just looking at sort of their lines, is they're having that new line of the essential Dungeons & Dragons, and the starter is that red box, and then they're putting out some stuff specifically for that.
That is so freaking cool.
It looks like the
like the Dungeon Master's Kit is for the essential D&D game supplement.
That still looks sweet.
And it looks like a 256-page book for DMs.
Player's Handbook 3 looks like it has Minotaurs and Githyanki.
Yeah.
Or
anyway, that brief interlude.
Has playable races?
They're already playable want to, but...
Gamma World is coming out, plus a new red box, so...
I'll have to at least look at Gamma World, just to see if I can...
Oh, yeah. Well, they had a third ed version. It was... I forget what company put it out, though.
Yeah, it didn't do really well.
It did not do well at all, which is...
And actually, I don't think the second edition Gamma World really did that well, either.
The AD&D?
Yeah.
Actually, it did. Mm-hmm. It did very
well. One of 4 bajillion settings that TSR had out.
Anyway,
actually did really well.
We need to get to the lovely three-parter here, so we will be back after this.
Gamers Haven Incorporated proudly presents A Thousand Monkeys production of a Pinnacle Entertainment game. Deadlands Reloaded. Enough room to die. Featuring the Gamers Haven regulars, A campaign 6 years in the making. Secret societies, bloodthirsty demons, the story's got it all. But can the heroes unravel the plot before it's too late? One thing's for certain, is they're gonna either have enough room to live, or enough room to die. Available for download only at GamersHavenPodcast.com.
And today on the lovely three-parter, I've got a rant, which those are always fun. Nathan and Jeremy are going to be reviewing two separate things, but they're both doing reviews.
Jeremy actually said he's going to do a preview.
Well, it's a pre-review type of thing.
It's a quick review.
It's a snippet, quick review, yes.
I think most people,
snippet edition.
By the time definitely this comes out, if they've already purchased it,
yeah,
they're going to know what's in it. But I just wanted to give a brief overview.
That's what we're going to do. We'll go ahead and start with my lovely rant and get that out of the way. So.
The rant.
All right. As everybody knows, Gen Con pre-registration started up just recently. And then a few days after that, the hotel registration signed up. Now, I am going to Gen Con this year because we got a whole $13 from our donation drive. Rocking. $13, man.
$13, you don't have to spend.
Not being a jackass. I'm like, sweet, $13, you know? Sweet.
Yeah, that is awesome. I mean, I didn't expect us to get anything.
No. $1 came from Norway. I'm
That's
jazzed about
awesome.
That. We have someone listening to us in Norway who sent me $1. That's right, $1. That's how awesome I am, is I got $1 from Norway.
That is really damn sweet.
I'm very proud of you.
I know. This is my crowning achievement in life. Anyway, Gen Con, their housing site launched, and I've never had an issue with the Gen Con housing stuff. And people gripe and moan and bitch about the Gen Con event registration when that rolls around always. But I always expect that to be, you know, a lovely
hell.
A lovely experience in and of itself, but I expect that. The housing, however, kind of annoyed me. That, of course, you know, it opened up at it opened up, I think, at 11:00 a.m. our central time on I think it was the 25th. Of course, you know, everyone was sitting there waiting to hit the login button. And so, of course, at 11:01, you know, the site chokes a bit. As you know, 20,000 people are trying to book their rooms. Anyway, I get into there and I look at the list and go, okay, well, normally we stay at the Hyatt, but it looks like the Westin has rooms available and they're a little cheaper. So I click on them, start going through the process of booking the room, and I say I want these days through these days. Excellent, we're good. Put in the information for who's going to be it, hit next, and then it tells me that those dates are no longer available. So I'm like, okay, go back. Oh, it looks like they've filled up except for Friday and Saturday. Right, that doesn't help. So I go back out, at which point the server kicks me off, and I have to re-log in. And I go, okay, fine, I'll go to the Hyatt. Hyatt's still on the list. So go to the Hyatt and start doing all that. Go through, get to the payment screen. And enter my payment information and, hit, submit. And it says, your payment didn't validate. I'm like, okay, the heck does that mean? There's money in the account. You're not actually charging the thing. So I try a different card. Still wouldn't do it. So I back out all the way and go back to the main list. And the Hyatt is no longer on the list. So apparently in all that time, it decided to fill up while I was booking the rooms. So I ended up getting a room in the Crown Plaza, which we stayed at before. It's within walking distance. It's fine. It's not the hotel I would really want to stay in.
It's also expensive.
Yeah, it's the one with the trains.
Yeah.
It was about the same price, roughly, as the Hyatt was. So, not really griping about that. What I'm griping about is how the housing system doesn't save your place in line. I thought it was really dumb how I went, here's the list of available hotels. I click on that, and in the time it takes me where it says I've booked, that I've reserved these rooms, and I'm getting to the payment screen, it has sold those rooms to someone else. I think is wrong and stupid. So yeah, I should have been standing in line with a little sign saying, these are my rooms, and it should hold them for a certain amount of time and tell me about this, but it didn't. It decided just to give the rooms to someone else. So hurrah and, you know, congratulations to the Gen Con housing system for screwing that up as the first auspicious omen to Gen Con this year. So we're hoping that things start looking better as far as that's concerned. So yeah, that was annoying. You know, it's not as annoying as apparently, from what I'm understanding, is a lot of people did not actually get the email announcements that said that registration was opening and that the housing registration was going to start up. And so some people who normally go to Gen Con found out that registration opened about a week late and went and registered or went to register and can't get any rooms close to the convention center. So, you know, I understand it's a business and generally has a lot going on, but
that's a
bunch the housing system should not do that and should you know, reserve the room for you when you actually say I need this room between this day and this day, and then it says okay and gets you to the screen where you start inputting people's information. It should reserve those rooms from that point on. It shouldn't, you know, decide to suddenly give those rooms to someone else. So that's pretty much my rant. Thank you, Gen Con housing system, for being crappy.
The review.
All right, so basically, RPG Now had a fundraiser for actually Haiti, which we know at this point has been hit by was hit by an earthquake.
Yes,
which no one seems to be doing anything about, it seems. And there's people there, but they just can't get the food.
It was devastating, and
Haitian government's not really helping.
A ridiculous,
yeah, considering they're stealing all the money that's coming in that's supposed to help the people.
A ridiculous amount of people died, and they already have well, the poorest in the western part of the world anyway. But yeah. RPG Now...
and Drive-Thru RPG.
Drive-Thru RPG,
you know,
yeah.
One Bookshelf.
Right.
The company.
Actually did a special money raiser where for $20...
Well, they did three different tiers. They did a $5 donation, a $10 donation, and then
right.
a $20
But the
$5
donation. And $10, mm-hmm. I don't think, actually came with anything.
It didn't. What they did, though, for those is if someone donated $5 or $10, the company matched it.
Well, that was cool.
The donation. And then for $20...
You got $1,500
yeah. You got $1,500 worth of free stuff.
Free PDFs. Now, I'm just going to give a quick overview of a few of these here. Some of these didn't work. That's one thing I did notice. They didn't download right, or they weren't loaded into the program right. But that's okay. They were a bunch. Some of this stuff is crap, but some of this stuff is actually worth it. For example, you have Dork Covenant, which is a comic book, obviously, and is hilarious. Very much worth it. Monkey God Presents Frost and Fury and From Stone
Frost
to Steel. Frost and Fur, excuse me.
And From
both
Stone to Steel is a fantastic book.
Yeah, From Stone's, I own that physical copy there.
Yeah, I do too.
But both of those are 3.5, but
me.
they both have good things in them.
Yeah.
Roma Imperius, which is a game about Rome.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't that written by, what was the one that was written by the person we know? Roman.
No, you're thinking of Trojan War.
Yeah. That is an awesome book.
That's not in here.
Squirrel Attack, Operation Get Mr. Jones Nuts. A couple of these silly ones I'm going to run at some point.
Some of the silly ones are pretty funny.
The Serenity role-playing game. Mm-hmm. The Seven Leagues role-playing game.
They also put in the Cortex core book.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're talking the Serenity core book here.
Yeah,
I mean, this is Margaret Weiss Productions really stepped up to play.
Seven Leagues role-playing game of Fairy, which, while I will probably never run it, was very neat to read.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go on to other things like stuff that I have never heard of. The Neo Monks, the Dragon Lord,
mm-hmm.
and Neo whatever. Department 7, which I guess Department 7 is a D20 modern.
Yeah.
And it has things like the Lucky Bastard class update, the Barroom Berserker, things like that. But in addition, you also have WorldWorks Games has some of their products on here.
Fat Dragon Games had a bunch of stuff on there.
Fat Dragon has some things on here.
Well worth it just for the Fat Dragon game stuff. The Fat Dragon Games, for those who don't know, are the ones who do the 3D terrain that you can print on cardstock and then build, and that's really nice.
I mean, the list goes on and on. Some of this stuff I will never use. Some of this stuff I will probably actually just take some ideas out of it, because a lot of this... Oh, here's another one. Shaolin Squirrels, Nuts of Fury.
Yes.
I mean, just Pile Drivers and Power Bombs, Choke Slam of Darkness Edition.
Yes.
The wrestling RPG. Slivers of Dawn. Items Evolve Rituals, for those people that still play, you know, Arcana Evolved. There's some stuff for the kids, too. Kids Castles and Caves. A very simple game for kids. Karma role-playing system.
Yep.
Wayfarers, Zombie Apocalypse, Book of Races.
Tons of stuff.
Randomly, Fantasy Woman Clip Art, which is half women, half dragons. I'm not really sure where that...
Yeah.
This one is actually...
As my brother put it, some of the stuff is kind of crappy. But...
Yeah.
It was a good cause. Kudos to RPG Now.
Counter Collection, fourth edition, Paragon counters.
And this stuff is still available, but you can go buy it, the individual files.
Dragonshire, City Interiors.
Yeah, that's all Fat Dragon
Copper
stuff.
Dragon, Basic Dungeons 1, WorldWorks Games. Anyway, I finally downloaded everything that would download. And like I said, some of it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it was stuff that I was like, whatever. And I've got to go back, and some of the stuff I'll delete. But I just think that really this was a great idea from RPG Now. I think any time that a gaming organization tries to raise money for...
Yeah, and they were raising it for they're raising it for Doctors Without Borders,
right? Which is a great cause.
Which is a great cause. Yes.
Any time that they do that, one, they make gamers, you know, they put the name out that gamers aren't creepy and don't, you know, run around, sewers and stuff,
and don't hiss at daylight.
And in addition, you do get some gems. I mean, really looking at it, there were some books on here or PDFs on here that the $20 was nothing.
There were some books on there that I was going to buy anyway.
So,
I was eventually going to get some of that Fat Dragon stuff.
Yeah,
it's through that I found out that Fat Dragon is starting to do some Wild West stuff. Right, they're doing Draco, which is some Wild West 3D terrain. Which I'm
I guess it's not
totally
really a
jazzed
review
about.
Per se, because I'm still trying to go through a lot of this stuff. It's more of just kudos to them.
Yes,
it is kudos to them that they did this, and I really appreciate it that they did this.
Yeah, and when I last saw it, and I know it's gone up since then, but the number's not on their website anymore, they had raised about $150,000 for Doctors Without Borders.
Yeah, it was much more than that when I checked.
Is, I think, awesome for gamers to do stuff like that. Is just really cool.
Well, it's PDF, so it's not like there's this stock sitting anywhere. I mean, yes, they want to make money, but in this case... They don't have to sell the books.
Mm-hmm.
So for a PDF,
it's fabulous. It's wonderful.
It's great.
Wonderful things. So.
I hope we see more of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope we don't see more...
Less disasters.
Less disasters, yes.
But more fundraisers for good causes like that.
I think that's pretty cool.
So...
The Review.
Well, boys and girls, as you all know, I'm a bit of a computer geek, and so I'm going to talk a bit, yeah. I'm going to talk about EverQuest 2. No, it's not Age of Boobs, sadly.
No, that's Age of Boobs.
Yeah. It does not have any boobs in it, really.
No boobs.
sadly.
So therefore, you can entirely tune out and think about boobs.
Yeah, from this point on.
That's what I'm going to do.
I beta tested EverQuest 2, and we played EverQuest 2 when it first came out before we started playing World of Warcraft, and got addicted to it because my wife really likes it. And I thought it was okay when I first played it, but you know, it's much better with the more people you have. But anyways, enough on World of Warcraft. We went back to play EverQuest 2. They had a free 14-day trial, and we were having a really good time with it. So we figured we'd pay for a month, and we've been playing. And I'm kind of shocked, because when we first played it, the best way to describe it is kill your friend hard. You'd be playing, and it's like Ninja Gaiden. It's like, there's a monster. Oh, he brought 8 of his buddies. Oh, they're all heroic, and they're the same level as me. I died before I even realized what happened. And it's like, that was wherever it was. You could not go anywhere without a group of, like, 5 or 6 people. It was an old-school type online or MMO. And I have not played it since it came out. So we're talking, what, 3 years? 4 years? Around that time? It's been a long time. And it had a free 14-day trial, so I figured I'd check it out. Hang on 1 second.
I'd check it out.
I've been sick and been dealing with all sorts of BS stuff lately. So I've had a good deal of time to fiddle around with it, and it's playable as a solo character now. I mean, the heroic monsters are still nasty, but if you're like 2 levels higher than them, you're usually okay. Whereas in the old game, you could be 5 levels higher than the heroic monster, and it would just totally eat you. It's much more comfortable for casual players now, unlike the old version. There's tons of areas to explore. The graphics are much higher detail than World of Warcraft. They are still DirectX 9, but the graphics are very well detailed. It's nice and pretty, but it is definitely a change of pace from, like, say, World of Warcraft. So if you're tiring of World of Warcraft, as a lot of us are nowadays, because we've been playing it forever, and you want to check out something else to change of pace, check out EverQuest 2. I do know they're running like a free 14-day trial for a little while. The other one that you'll want to definitely check out is Lord of the Rings Online. Lord of the Rings Online is probably the most gorgeous MMO out on the market, graphics-wise. Does DirectX 10, will soon support DirectX 11, as will D&D Online, which is completely free. And it deals with, you know, the most epic trilogy of books that have ever been released, blah, 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 so on and so forth. But the game itself is actually very pretty, so... give them a try. They both got free trials that you can check out. Check them out, see what you think. I liked both of them, honestly. So, EverQuest 2 is much better than it was before. I wish we could say the same thing about City of Heroes, but it's still the same. But that's my review. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but I hope you enjoy it.
Gamers Haven Incorporated proudly presents A Thousand Monkeys production of a Monty Cook adventure. Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition Night of Dissolution, a Tolus adventure featuring the Gamers Haven regulars. Available for download only at gamershavenpodcast.com.
Well, thank you for listening to the Gamers Haven podcast. As this was a Random Encounters episode, there is no Random Encounters at the end of the episode, so...
Those were actually down in the front.
I know. Well, middle, really.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys on the flip side.
Yep, hopefully next time we talk, we'll have more CantCon information.
Yep.
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven Podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives.
You can also call us toll-free and leave a message to be played on the show by dialing 1-877-416-1270. That's toll-free, 877-416-1270. On our website, you'll also find our actual play podcasts chronicling our misadventures through all things role-playing. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music in this podcast is used with permission of Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.